It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Friday. Welcome back. Hi, everybody.
How do I do this? We are eSports.
I'm Spencer, and that's my fabulous and hilarious and gorgeous best friend and co-host, Caitlin.
Stop. I'll literally cry. She's the fabulous and gorgeous and funny one. She's the other half of my brain. So really, we're just two halves of a whole idiot.
Yeah.
Two halves of a whole idiot.
Just two peas in one idiot pod. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one. It's a good pod.
If you're new here, welcome. If you're not new here, welcome back. We're so happy to have you on this lovely Friday afternoon. And we are so excited to talk basketball with you guys. And if you haven't already, especially if you're new here, please, actually, especially if you're old here and you haven't done it yet, please like, especially
if
you've been around the block once or twice. If you visited this channel a couple times, go ahead and hit that like button, hit the comment button, chit chat with us. We love to chit chat with you. We love when you take our jokes very seriously because you guys are sensitive. And
guys, one thing you need to know about me and Spencer is that nothing ever that we say is ever, and I mean literally ever, said with malice. We never have hatred behind our jokes.
We're just silly, goofy gals, okay?
And life is hard for everyone, okay? Like, the only way that us as a country, human population, whatever the hell it may be, the only way we're going to all be able to get through life is by laughing at each other and at ourselves. It's okay. It's okay to have some fun and to joke. We love to giggle.
We're literally the most unserious people I think you'll ever meet. So please never take anything we're saying seriously. Ever. Unless I'm talking about Nikola Jokic. Then it's all business.
All business, no play.
All business. Anyway, there's so much to get into today. Because you know what happened last night? You know, the Mavs finished their series with OKC for the season with a 3-1. And I think the only one they lost was when Luka was there.
And it was in OKC, I think, too. The one that they did. Yeah.
Wemby was putting on a show in Paris yesterday or the day before.
Yesterday.
Showing up and showing out. Okay. Ugh. Nikola Jokic has convinced me that Serbia, in fact, is not real and not on planet Earth. I think he is an avatar because he's insane. And then, you know, Giannis is not getting enough, you know, deserved respect. Okay.
Yes.
And then Jimmy's suspended again. And
there's so much. Lakers, just literally in 2 days.
The Lakers are Lakering. I don't know what that means. I hate the Lakers, but they did beat the Celtics. And the Celtics, again, are still a little streaky. Anyway, there's so much to talk about. So I kind of want to talk about OKC first and Mavs. What about you?
That's a great idea. I think that's totally fine. Yes, I would love that.
That's a great idea. Thanks.
Because like the thing, and you know what? I'm just straight up. I'm literally just going to jump right in. But I am so baffled because the Mavericks are obviously struggling. And if you don't know, Luka's obviously out. Not only is Luka out. Derek Lively's out. Klay Thompson's out. Jaden Hardy's out. Dante Exum, Dwight Powell. Yep, Najee Marshall. Those are your seven guys that are out, which is ridiculous. I mean, literally, that's like half of their starters. Yeah. And Luka's been out for a while, which makes me really sad because I feel like he could have had, like, if Luka was in right now, we'd be having a four-person MVP conversation. I fully believe that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there would be four guys that would be, like, that would have cases to be made for MVP. So I hate that he's been out. I hate that he's been injured. Hopefully he comes back in time for playoffs and everything. Because you and I always say we love full, healthy teams, especially when it comes time for the playoffs. Because that's good competition.
We don't like people having excuses, okay? And as a Denver Nugget fan, I don't want to beat you when you're injured. I want to beat you when you're fully healthy. So no one can be like,
you're injured. You're the easiest road.
Because we're all humans and we're all going to do that, okay? you know, the Nuggets barely lost to the Celtics. And I'm like, okay, well, we didn't have Nikola Jokic or Aaron Gordon. It's just obviously you're going to say those things when you don't have your best players. So especially with the Mavs, who, you know, should be in the top five in the standings naturally with everyone healthy, you know, even top four probably. I just feel really bad. And I, like, we have a lot of Mavs friends, and I was born in Fort Worth. So I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm not a Mavs fan, but it does suck. Luka's one of Jokic's best friends. He's another one of the greatest basketball players right now.
Offensive players, for sure.
Took the words right. I was just about to say offensive, like literal offensive mastermind. So it just sucks, like, for their team that they're out and that they're like struggling. But how sick is it, again, to whoop OKC three times in a season?
Three out of four. And that's... Oh, yeah,
after the playoffs, after you sent them home in the playoffs.
No, I know. And that's like, and it's crazy because, you know, we talk about it. OKC is a clear number one seed. OKC is clearly, you know, very comfortably the number one seed in the West. They have been winning games left and right. And so for the Mavs, who, like we've said, have been struggling, like the Mavs are their kryptonite. If like OKC sees the Mavs, they're like,
the Mavs is to, you remember that stuff in school, like when you be reading it, like this is those comparisons. The Mavs is to the OKC Thunder as the Lakers is to, or no, as the Nuggets are to the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly.
That is what's going on there. Can't be.
Yeah, it's, no, literally. And it's just like, it's crazy because, I mean, so they won by six and, I will say, like, Shea was not having a good game. I was like, I was worried. He had a really great first quarter, and then the second and third quarter just, like,
he was gone.
He disappeared. And the Mavs, you know,
3 points second quarter, 2 point third quarter, if you didn't watch or get to see it.
Yep. But then he comes out in the fourth quarter, and Shea, I would say, Shea is to... Doug McDermott. Wait, I didn't have anything else to compare it. Shea was Doug McDermott, okay? The way that Doug McDermott went crazy.
For the Nuggets last night. Yeah.
He was six for nine.
Six for nine, Shea was in the fourth after quarter two, 1 for 4 from the field. Quarter three, 1 for 6 from the field. And then he shot 66.7% just to make sure he got that 31 points. Can't lose without it, despite the loss.
No, but I mean, you know what I will say, though? He was probably the only reason that they stayed in the game. I don't think that if Shea would have had a second or third quarter, or like a fourth quarter, the way that a second and third quarter went, he would have, they would have gotten their asses kicked. Okay.
Shout out to J-Dub, though, because this was one of his best games of the season. Yes, he ended with 33 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals, and a block, 57.9% from the field. He had 4 three-pointers. He was 50% from the 3-point line. And he was 70.5% true shooting. So he had a monster game. He did so well. You just didn't have a lot of contribution from anyone else. Lu Dort got ejected.
Literally, yeah.
And anyone who knows me knows I don't like Lu Dort. I think he is a fantastic defensive player, but I think he's slightly dirty.
I was going to say, he gets ejected quite often. He's like... he can be so fun to watch because he reminds me a lot of like Dylan Brooks, very competitive, very spicy.
They irk me. Spicy. That's a
very
good way to put
spicy.
It.
Yeah. He's, you know, amazing player, but he, Dylan Brooks, Draymond, you know, they all go together. The vibes are there.
They thrive on getting under people's skin, I think. I think that's what they aim to do.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. But like you said, I mean, like besides Shea and J-Dub, there really wasn't a lot of contribution. And I will say, obviously, Isaiah Hartenstein's also out. We know that Chet Holmgren has been out. And so they didn't really have anyone at like the true center spot that they could trust and kind of have under the basket. But at the same time, you know, Dallas didn't have Lively. They did have Gafford, though. Did they? Yeah, they did have Gafford, and he didn't do much. So there wasn't a lot going on from, like, that center position.
Actually, Well, I wanted to ask you about that because obviously OKC is sitting on the Mount Everest of picks and they have, you know, could literally get anyone. You have Chet, who obviously is not like a super durable player. Like Chet's really good, but he's really skinny and he's obviously out right now. And then you have Hartenstein, who was dealing with, you know, in New York, he was dealing with that Achilles issue. And now he's dealing with like a calf issue, which, you know, like us Nuggets fans, we have had Aaron Gordon dealing with that. And so it's like one of those things where you like don't really know when is actually like when it is better. It's like another like hamstring thing. Like you never really know.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
You start playing. So do you think that they need to invest? Because like Jay Will was, you know, playing their center last night. And do you think they need to like, they have a ton of picks. Like they could get anyone. Do you think they need to go and get like, not like a Valanciunas, someone like better than that. But do you think they need like a third backup option?
I'm going to say no. And the only reason that I say no is because their team is obviously okay without Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren. They're obviously,
it's not
you know,
like they're on a 10 game losing streak or something.
Exactly. So they're still playing really, really, really well without them. And that actually is my worry, is that when when Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren come back, I'm like, can we not? You're already playing well without them. Can we not throw them back in? Yeah.
Can we not?
So I don't really think that they need anything else, just because like, you know, if they were really struggling without a center, I could totally see them being like, look, we need a backup center, you know, for X amount of time. But then, you know, it just sucks because it's almost like wasted picks at that point, because when Chet and when Isaiah Hartenstein come back, you just throw that guy kind of on like the deep, deep bench with Jay Will, you know? So I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. I think that they're unfortunately doing just fine without them. And I think when they come back, they're going to be even better.
I think they're doing just fine without them. I mean, the problem that they ran into in the game last night was they had no rim protection, like literally at all. And when you have PJ Washington, Cats by 90, they're, you know, he's going to blow right by you. So I think that was obviously like the problem that they've seen. Like, you just have like really good size, but I think that's was a problem in the playoffs. So it's like, I think they're doing just fine in the regular season, but there's like problems that you have to look into that like could potentially be season ending, obviously, when you get to the playoffs. And I feel like size can be one of them sometimes.
Totally. I am. And you know, I've been wondering, I feel like I don't know necessarily when Chet is coming back. He's been out since like the sixth game of the season.
Yeah, he's been out for a while.
So it's, you know, it's been a while. So I presume he'll be coming
back
soon-ish.
Chet's not getting any MVP votes because they've been fine. Sorry, Chet. You're still an amazing player.
Chet, we love you. Not the most valuable, but valuable nonetheless.
But valuable nonetheless.
Exactly. I just like, I think that like for them, Chet's probably going to be coming back soon. Isaiah Hartenstein, hopefully whatever issues he's dealing with can be dealt with. I think that by the time playoffs come, and this is my guess, is that their kind of goal with these guys is to not milk their injuries, but kind of milk their injuries, let them take the extra time while the team is still winning. Don't need to rush injuries. Like they don't need to rush these injuries because they're doing so well. If their team started really struggling, they might be like, okay, like it's time to start ramping up.
To try and force themselves back, or, you know, lie to the doctors or whatever they do to try and be like,
whatever they're down with.
Coach, what do you mean you can see my bone out of the skin right now? I am fine.
I'm just literally put a patch on it. Throw a Band-Aid on that.
Literally duct tape, whatever. It's fine. I'm fine.
And that's my thought.
Yeah, I do feel bad for the Mavs. Mavs are like super, super injury prone, and they've had a lot of losses lately. That's what happens when you're missing literally like seven guys. But Spencer Dinwiddie, not me, decided to go off, which is, again, a little embarrassing for OKC. When you're getting outplayed by Spencer Dinwiddie, you have to go home and reconsider your life a little bit. He had 28,
really got to think about what you did.
28 points. He literally shot 78.6%. And I know Mavs fans, at least our friends that are Mavs friends, have hated this man so much. Like, they do not like, they're not fucking with Spencer Dinwiddie. But except for last night, because he did what needed to be done. And I'm pretty impressed by it. Him and then PJ Washington, they took one of his rebounds away because he was 22 and 20, and then they took it away. He ended with, now when you look at his stats, 22-19. Kyrie Irving, 24 points. Everyone was kind of contributing. Gafford had a 12-point game. Like, everyone contributed to the win a little bit. The bare-bones starters that they had, they took it to OKC, and I'm pretty impressed by them.
I was telling Spencer, and I'm gonna totally butcher his name, and I'm so sorry because it is so long. Olivier Maxence Prosper, OMP.
Yeah, I didn't even. Yeah, girl, that's why I didn't say his name, because I wasn't gonna try that one.
I'm not going to, but I mean, I just did.
Yeah,
but
you kind of did.
I kind of did. He literally has like not been playing except for like garbage time type minutes and stuff like that. And I texted Spencer and I was like, who is this man just out here cooking OKC right now, scoring 14 on their heads? What is happening?
Man. Well, it honestly, and I want to talk to you about this, like, too. It's bad for OKC and the fact that, like, they're now not going to want to see the Mavs in the playoff, like, in the playoffs at all. Because, again, it reminds me of, you know, the Lakers-Nuggets situation where it's like, of course, they did win one this year, but like, it's one of those things where it's like, we can never beat them. Like, I don't want to play them again. So
yeah. And it's like I said, it's not even like the Mavs are better than like OKC. It's just like, they're a really crappy matchup, and they're their kryptonites. Yep.
They have their number, and it makes me think about like the psychological aspect, because, you know, it would have been really nice in like an OKC sense of like the, you know, of the season to go and split and have it 2-2. But when they send you home in, you know, in the second round, and then it was the second round, right? Not the first, right? Okay. Yeah. When you send them home.
OKC swept the Pelicans in the first round.
That's what it was. So when you send them home in the second round, and then you come into the season and they're like super duper injured, and you only get one on them like in OKC, I'd be nervous as a fan going into like, if that was the series that I had to watch, like first or second round, would scare me.
Yeah. And that's like the hard part right now, unless the Mavs start winning a lot of games and kind of get into like that 5-6 seed. They're going to be sitting, like right now they're seventh in the West. So Mavs are going to be kind of sitting in that play-in bracket. And depending on how that goes, OKC could be one and Mavs could be eight, and that could be their first matchup.
Yeah.
And it's not like
I don't think it's likely for Mavs to end up in the eighth seed. But
especially
again,
if Luka comes back.
I don't think it would be a first matchup, but if it's like a second matchup, or it would be an insane Western Conference Finals matchup, you know, if something happens to if something happens to Nikola Jokic and we're not there, then yes, that would be a great matchup to watch.
It's very true. Yeah, and you know what? I just want to say this too. I was watching some of that game yesterday, and watching Alex Caruso play defense has to be one of like my favorite pastimes. The way that he plays defense is insane.
Oh, I told you. He's like literally the best perimeter defender in the NBA, in my opinion.
Ever. I know. I just like yesterday, and like I've always known that. I know that that's literally why they got him. He's essentially like an offensive net zero. He doesn't do too much for him. Yeah. Sometimes he can put up 10, but like he's there to be a pest and to be a defender. And I like literally, I think there were like three possessions in a row where I literally, this was me. I was just like, who are you? But like, I was getting so pissed off because I'm like, how do you do that? Like, your hands are so fast.
What are
fast.
You doing?
And he's just like popping balls out left and right. And like, he's just always ahead of everyone. And his feet are always like moving perfectly. And like, he did this thing. And I was like, it was impeccable because so many people would get called for a foul or would commit a foul on this. But he was behind someone. I don't remember which player it was on the Mavs. He was behind someone and he goes around. Both of his arms are around this player and he's kind of like batting back and forth and he just pops the ball out perfectly. Like super fast, real time, takes like 2 seconds. His arms are literally behind the back, like around this guy's waist, pops the ball out. It was executed perfectly. And then they ended up getting a steal off of it because he was able to do that. But I'm like he's an amazing perimeter defender, and like, it's incredible. But like, if you just sit there and watch him, I'm like, it's not just that he's amazing. It's like, he's doing shit that like no one else can do. Like, and he's not committing fouls doing it. Like, his hands are like the most precise.
He's such a clean defender.
Knives.
Yeah.
Yes. They're little, just freaking swords in his hand, and he's perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm baffled by him.
He's so fun to watch, and I hate that he's on OKC.
I want
OKC's him, got a good squad. I love this matchup just because it's fun to watch, and I can't wait. I can't wait to. I want to see both teams healthy. Okay, I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see both
so
these
fun.
Teams whole. And then another game last night that we have to talk about, especially because Anthony Davis made a comment in the media, was the Celtics getting beat by the Lakers. Okay, Caitlin and I, we're not gonna dog on the Celtics, okay? Because Caitlin and I already talked about
having a hard enough time.
They're having a hard enough time. We already said that we think, if you want to go back to last episode, we already said we think the Celtics are going to be just fine. I don't think anyone's taking their number two spot in the East. We think that we're getting to the midpoint of the season before the All-Star break where people are tired.
They played.
You had like three of them in the Olympics. You had, you know, they won the championship. Okay. We think they're just a little bit tired.
They need the All-Star break so bad. They need it so bad.
They do. I think they're going to come out of it swinging though.
Me too.
But I wanted to say is, I guess last night that in this season, the Lakers had not led a game by 26. And the Celtics had not been down by 26 in a game. And both of those streaks died last night, as the Lakers did lead at one point by 26. And the Celtics were down by 26, which is wild. I really can't. Again, it hasn't happened this season. But I was like, I can't remember last season if that happened to the Celtics.
And
like,
I was going to say, like, I genuinely don't remember the last time that the Celtics lost like that, the way that they did last night. Like, it was a pretty bad loss. But on the contrary, it was a great game for the Lakers, obviously, being able to play, you know, the reigning champs.
They're sneakily in fifth.
I'm so mad about it.
Well, it's just like so random.
I'm so mad about it.
I just don't think they're that good. No offense, but a lot of people are struggling in the Western Conference. A lot of injuries. Okay. That's like has to do with a lot of like the teams that should be doing better. They're 24 and 18 currently. They play the Warriors tomorrow. Sorry, Kaylin.
I'm actually going to be dead. Sorry. I'm planning on being dead tomorrow.
I'm scheduling a lobotomy for that time right now. Won't be available. Kristaps Porzingis was back, you know, 22 points, Jaylen Brown 17, Jason Tatum 16, and then no one else did much of anything. Derek White's been in a little bit of a shooting slump, I've noticed, and I feel bad because he's usually such a strong like 3-point shooter and just a strong shooter in general, and I feel bad. He's been struggling, and then Drew Holiday was like 1-for-6. It was just one of those games, man. It was one of those games for them. The Lakers came
out, about the
and
Celtics,
everyone was contributing.
Totally. And the thing about the Celtics is that, like, that's normally their strength. They are very strength in numbers. We talked about this earlier in the season, like, right at the beginning of the season. They have a deep team and almost the exact same team, if not the exact same team, that they had last year. And they're a very deep team. And the thing about them that's amazing is that their bench comes out and their bench always contributes. Usually they have their entire team contributing, and like last night they didn't have that. You know, you have Peyton Pritchard, who was shooting 16%. He only had 7 points. Derek White had 3 points and he was shooting 20%. Luke Kornet, 4 points, shooting 33%. Al Horford shooting 20% with 2 points. Sam Hauser, Drew Holiday. I mean, those are guys that are normally literally putting up 10 to 20 points per game. I mean, besides Luke Kornet, you know, you'll normally see him put up a few points.
Al Horford, was shooting 20%. Everyone,
That's what I'm saying. Everyone had a rough game.
And you have to think about these things when these things happen. Like, I'll never, you know, never forget when the Nuggets were down like 500 points to the Timberwolves in game three.
500 points.
Like, how often are you going to see it? It's also like when you see a team have magnet ball and you're like, okay, well, how often is a team going to be shooting fucking 65% from the field? How often are we going to see the Celtics shooting a majority 20% from the field? Not often. Can you see that the fans have been so nice to us? Look how nice we're being to the Celtics. Okay. We're defending them. This just shows how much nice fans that we have made from the Celtics.
Yeah.
You guys don't bully us. So we care about your team a little bit.
We do. And we'll be extra nice to your team. Here's the thing.
The nicer we are to your team.
If I start liking your fan base, I accidentally find a way to like your team. And then I start looking for things to like about your team.
Well, I just don't want to be mean. I don't want my friends to hear me say mean things about their team. So I try and find the silver lining. Exactly. Unless it's a team that like I actively have already hated. I try and be nice. But Austin Reeves. No, Anthony Davis came out. Anthony Davis came out and said that he thinks they need a true big. He says he prefers to play power forward.
Does he want to be four?
Do you think this is because he's scared of Nikola Jokic?
Duh. Everyone should be scared of Nikola Jokic.
Do you think he doesn't need to be in the center role? What do you think?
You know, I think he's done amazing at the center role, but I think he's right in the sense that, like, and we've seen this with a lot of players. There's so many players that are played out of position, and then you put them in their position and where they thrive. And then they're kind of elevated even more. And I wonder, because they were talking about it, and they've been talking about it, how they're like Anthony Davis, when he was saying everything yesterday, you know, he was like, you know, I know that everyone keeps saying it, that, you know, like we're one to two pieces away. He's like, but I like genuinely believe that. Like he said that he genuinely believes that they're one to two pieces away. And like, I just wonder if he thinks that he can provide more as a power forward, and like if he can elevate his game even more as a power forward, if they have someone really playing that true center role. And I did see yesterday that the Lakers are looking at Vooch very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a lot. They're super closely. Looking at him. Closely. Sure. They really want the guy. And they're keeping an eye on him.
It's a tough word. Couldn't get it.
Ooh, closely. That's a big one. Gotta upgrade my vernacular. Figure out what's missing in there.
Man, I missed. That's my word of the day. Check.
Check. Got it. I read the dictionary for fun.
Period.
Big word girl.
Big word. Yeah. Big word
big
girl.
Big word girl. Yeah. No, but I don't know. I think that like I could agree with him there. I think that like if he knows in his heart of hearts that he is best at the four and has big old man heart, his big lion heart, if he knows that, you know, he would be able to elevate himself and the team as a four and that getting a true center would genuinely help them, then sure. I mean, like we saw, like Jordan Poole kept saying, I'm an on-ball point guard. I'm an on-ball point guard. I'm an on-ball point guard. Like I need to be number one, as stupid as that is. Yeah, exactly. Like he's been saying that. No, I liked it. I think you were saying something good. Mm-hmm. No, exactly. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I heard that. I bet you everyone else did too. So I think that they get it. I think
the thing is, don't piss me off, Anthony Davis, because you know what the Timberwolves did is the Timberwolves had 2 7-footers and then the Cavs had 2 7-footers and it proves to be really annoying for the Nuggets. So keep your thoughts and opinions. However much they might improve your team to yourself. Okay.
Skedaddle.
Skedaddle out of here with that.
Stop trying to get better and hurt our feelings.
Yeah. Scram. No, you're done. You guys are done. Okay. You had your time.
It was so unfair. It was so unfair too. in like the most not unfair way possible because they just played great. But like the Lakers last night, you know, literally Anthony Davis had 24 points and 8 rebounds. LeBron James had 20 points, 14 rebounds. Austin Reeves had 23 points, which is like a decent shooting night for him. Like he normally likes to sit there and kind of be the facilitator. Yeah. He's not a big I'm gonna shoot all game guy.
They said let's go to Golden Corral because we're all gonna eat. They said we're going to the buffet.
All you can eat, baby. Num, 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 num.
Mukbang. So
those are so scary mukbangs when people are like, and they're like chewing in like the microphone.
They're getting paid $300 million. Yeah, love that.
All right, fine.
Moving on. Caitlin was really excited about what happened, so you can detail it. But I was really excited to hear that Wemby was going to play in Paris because, like, obviously, if you didn't know, he's French. Fun fact. Spoiler alert. Wemby's from France. And I'm not like a Wemby truther yet. Not truther. Sorry. I think he's an amazing basketball player and he's going to end up annoyingly, like, probably getting 3 MVPs or something. I don't love him simply after the fact that he was like, I came to America and a lot of my favorite players are just lazy. And I was like, okay, like, you're new here, chill. So he kind of got on my nerves.
She said, you're new here.
You're new here, buddy. Like, relax. You're okay, rookie. So again, Kayla and I say this a lot. Usually if we don't like a player, it's not because of their basketball play. So I need y'all to remember, Wemby is amazing. He had an amazing sequence. But again, that was a roundabout way of me saying I was excited that he got to go to France because I started thinking about, you know, all his friends, family, like classmates, you know, like people he grew up with or even like teammates that he just like played with growing up that probably haven't gotten to see him play yet. So I just thought it was really cool. Well, besides like, unless they got to go to the Olympics, but that's a thing that happens every 4 years. So they don't get to go to like his regular season games, like if they lived here. So I just thought it was a cool, special thing for him. And he said it meant the world to him to show his teammates around France. And it was really cute.
I will actually cry. He went off. Love stuff like that.
As he should in his home country.
God, he went crazy. And, you know, like I was just telling Spencer that I was so excited about it because, like for me, Wemby's comments about people being lazy, that's so valid. But also, like, is he lying?
Some of them are, but like it's to me when you're like acting like you're better when you're you're new here, kid. Yeah, you're new here. Like, even if you feel that way, you gotta have some respect to the people that came before you and paved the way. You know.
Yeah. Yes,
I don't like cocky people in general.
I'm the same way.
I don't mind confidence, but I don't tend to love cockiness, which is why when like the Rockets were here the other day and we were missing, you know, two of our best players, and Jalen Green was like laughing at the crowd. Like, I hate that shit. And when they're on your team, of course you think it's hilarious. Okay. You know, like when Jamal Murray is like doing this and calling timeout, we love it. So it's just, I'm a sensitive person. And when, you know, when your team is down, I get a little sensitive and annoyed. So when the cockiness gets on my nerves, okay?
It's so valid. It really is. And you know what? Like for me, I think the thing that has like maybe humanized him a little bit more is like, I don't know if you saw a few weeks ago when they were playing in New York and he literally just like showed up in New York to play chess with people walking by. And he literally, he like posted on Twitter and like Instagram and was like, I'm here. If anyone wants to play chess, pull up. And he was just playing chess with like fans that showed up. And I'm like, I really appreciate stuff like that because fans never get the opportunity to like hang out with their favorite player. And like, imagine being like a freaking 16-year-old kid.
Chess, or I lost.
Yeah, exactly. Like I just showed up in New York and got to play him in chess.
I remembered I did have one critique about his game that I don't like is that why are you 10 feet tall and you're shooting like 11 to 15 threes?
You hate it. I know.
Get to the, like, honestly, from the 3-point line, I think it, well, I think his arms might be able to touch the rim from the 3-point line.
That I think maybe that's why he stays at the 3-point line. Cause I think his head is through the net. Like, I think it's just, it's not... The height he's like really eye isn't level. Working for him.
He's eye level yeah. with the net. He's like, I literally.
He usually like, this is his dunk. He just like puts it in front of his face and dunks it.
Yeah.
Like.
No, the Spurs no. Whooped the Pacers. It ended 140-110. They were hype. Wemby played 32 minutes, had 30 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 blocks and a steal. He was a plus 18. Harrison Barnes was a team high in the plus minus with a plus 25. He shot 90% from the field. Shout out to Harrison Barnes. Caitlin and I talked about him a little bit in the offseason. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 9 of 10 from the field, 0 free throws. Vassell. It's Vassell, right? Because I always want to say Vassell, but I think it's Vassell. 25 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. So the defense was defensing, okay?
Chris Paul the whole game.
Was 1 for 5. You know, he's not much of a scorer this year. He did have 7 assists, and I think that's what Chris. He needs to just stick to.
And I love that he had 8 rebounds. How is Mr. 5'2", Chris Paul, grabbing 8 rebounds? How's that happening?
I don't know. But it was really good to see. I do feel bad for the Pacers because they were kind of like coming back on the up and up. They were on the upswing.
Totally.
You know, to have your highest points be from Mathurin, you know, which he's a great player. But 24 points is your team high. And then the next highest was 18 points from Pascal Siakam. And then you had Obi Toppin 13, Tyrese Halliburton 13, Miles Turner 14. It just wasn't enough to get it done. And you know what bothers me a little bit about Miles Turner is he doesn't rebound. Like, he had 3 rebounds. And I know Miles. Wemby's out there, okay. But I've noticed that a lot when I'm watching the games. Like, every once in a while, he'll have, like, 11 rebounds and 10 rebounds. And I'm like, okay. But then, like, I just feel like... If as a center, like there should be no more than like, I feel like a 3 rebound game should be an anomaly. And, you know, the other day against Detroit,
he's got several
3 rebounds, you know, the other day against Cleveland, 5 rebounds, you know, Brooklyn, 5, you know, he lands like around like the 5, you know, rebound line.
Often.
And it's like, it's very 50-50. He's either going to get like at least 10 or he's getting 5 or lower. And, you know, just for a center, like, and normally it wouldn't matter if you have someone else on your team, I think, that like takes over that. Like, you know, we noticed when Jokic was out, a lot of our guys like forget that he's not there to get those like 13, 14, 15 rebounds that he gets.
Yeah.
But when everyone on your team is like usually getting between 4 rebounds, like that's just, that's second chance points you can get for your team and second chance points that you, you know, are giving away. Or would not be giving away if you're, you know, going up and
if you were just
sure
grabbing the rebound.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that, like, I think that that's, I mean, probably one of the most important things about a center is to be, you know, kind of the one out there grabbing rebounds. And that's actually a lot of the times what I appreciate.
Because you're supposed to be the biggest guy.
Totally. And that's kind of like what I was going to say is that's kind of one of the things that I do appreciate about Wemby is that while he does spend a lot of time around the perimeter, you'll still find him inside grabbing rebounds. Like he tries to find a way to balance that and to kind of be all over the place. But what I wanted to talk about is if you didn't see it, Wemby had this just like insane sequence. And I was just like, I literally had goosebumps. Like I had full body goosebumps watching it because I was just like, imagine like being in France and you have all these people that are so proud of you, like just Wemby playing in the NBA and they're at this game. They get to watch you and they just get to watch this like incredible sequence. Like, yes. Oh my gosh.
Serve.
I mean, literally, if you didn't see it, you got to go watch. But it was literally, it was a minute and a half. And he had three of his 5 blocks, I should say. I don't know where I got those numbers. 3 of his 5 blocks were in that minute and a half. And they were on back-to-back-to-back possessions. And it was like insane. You know, you'd have a guy on the Pacers like go up for a layup and he swats it. But not only does he swat it, he doesn't swat it out of bounds or anything like that. He grabs the ball and gets it to his teammate. His teammate passes it up court. They set something up and then Wemby just runs in and then they throw an alley-oop to Wemby and he slams it. And then he goes back and plays defense again. And he's, you know, playing this crazy defense. And then he gets a monster block again when the Pacers are about to score. And then he grabs the ball again. He gets it back. And
everywhere.
oh my God, everywhere. And he, you know, throws it straight up court and gets an assist. Someone on his team got it. And then he goes back on defense and he gets a third block in the row when they're about to score.
He takes three steps from the rim and then he's back on defense.
It's just, it was actually really easy. He took a little skip hop, a little triple jump real quick, yeah, and he was back on the other side.
And then he literally did a self.
It was insane.
He did like a self lob at the end. And it just felt like it was a... And that's all, folks.
No, and literally, that's the game. It was just incredible. And like, I mean, a lot of people, like, I don't know if like I would say that like they're skeptical about him, or a lot of people have like critiques, like you do, like you're 7 feet, you know, 7'4" or whatever. Why are you around the 3-point line?
Just marry the rim.
I think that like for me, and that's like, again, this is the beauty of basketball. And this is one thing, yeah, like, this is what you and I like. This is why you and I are here, is because different fans and different people value different parts of the game. And like, for me, something that people hate about Wemby is something that I actually really enjoy. I think it's like insane to see a guy who's 7'4", a literal alien. He's so skinny, and you see him literally breaking people's ankles. Like, this guy has to bend down to a 90-degree angle to dribble the ball, and he's breaking your ankles. Like, he's so dribbling annoying. The ball up to some people's head because of how tall he is, you know? Like, it's just, it's crazy. And, like, for him to be able to, like, and then step back three, but then like you can also throw it inside for a lob and he can dunk it or block or whatever. And you know, like a lot of people say that they expect it from him because he's 7'4", and I get that. You can expect it from him, but like you don't see that from everyone. And I think the fact that he has a game, like a part of his game that's around the perimeter, really sets him apart from other centers and other 7-footers.
Oh, 100%.
And you know, so like I said, something that like drives other people nuts is something that I do appreciate about him.
No, I appreciate that when he makes them, but I'm like fit when it's like 11 to 15 a game, like that's just a little unnecessary. Like we've entered unnecessary territory.
Excessive.
Yeah.
A little excessive. No, I'm still there.
Moving on to another amazing game that happened last night. Speaking of really tall, amazing players that are good from the 3-point line, the Denver Nuggets.
And you know what? Go ahead.
We're not going to what? Your turn.
I was just going to say that we're not going to like sit there and talk about him for 30 minutes tonight, because if you didn't know, we did like a Twitter Spaces last night, and we did so that we could get all of our excited yapping about the Nuggets out last night.
Yeah.
But we have to talk about it with the rest of you guys, for people who were not on the Twitter Spaces, because
I may not talk about it for 30, but I might talk about it for 20. Okay. The Nuggets are currently, if you didn't know, first in assists per game, third in points per game, tied for fourth in rebounds per game, first in field goal percentage, and third in 3-point percentage. Okay. The Nuggets are streaking, baby. And if Nikola Jokic had not been injured during that Rockets game, we would be streaking a lot more, but it's okay. We're on a 4-game win streak. I think we're 10 of the last 13, 11 of the last 14, something like that. Something like that. And I was complaining because I feel like this always happens with the Nuggets. We always have like one game in there, but we always have good like percentages. Okay. So right now The Nuggets are so effing back. Okay. Nikola Jokic is incredible. Not only are we streaking, we broke the Kings streak, okay? I was a little worried going into this game. To be fair, yes, I know that it was the second night of a traveling back-to-back, okay? But that doesn't mean shit to me, because y'all do that all season, okay? It means a little bit to me, but not a lot. So what was most important to me, and I texted Caitlin about this, was that the Nuggets got out running in the first quarter, okay? Because first of all, they're on tired legs. You know, I think the media said they got in at like 4 a.m. That's usually the thing. Like, I hear that from all of our media people. Like, these players get in at 3 to 4 a.m., okay? When they have a traveling back-to-back. They got in at 4 a.m. So I'm like, the Nuggets, who historically are not great at setting first quarter pace until Russell Westbrook, I'm like, you have to get out there and run. Like, just keep running. And that's what they did. Like, Everyone was like, it was so such fast offense that I'm like, you got to tire their legs out for one. And then they are at altitude. And as someone who remembers her first workout, working out at altitude. And then now when I have just now been back in the mountains teaching snowboarding, which I'm obviously even higher up than Denver is, I was like, I forgot like what altitude's like. It's hard. Okay. So yeah. I knew like that. I thought if they got out there and took care of it in the first and really ran them ragged that we had a really good chance of winning that game. And I think the Nuggets are still undefeated when they're leading at the half. And, you know, it was a great three quarters. The fourth quarter was not great, but this didn't feel like a close game to me, even though like, I think they ended up cutting the lead to like 4 at one point. I think the highest
it
was
became
like 25.
Way, you know, too it close to like the game.
Yeah.
I was like, I was terrified because I was telling Spencer last night that two nights ago, the Kings played the Warriors. And again, because it was the second night of their back-to-back, they played the Warriors. And the Warriors were up by 17 at the half and ended up losing by 6 to the Kings. The Kings had a monster fourth quarter and they came back. Yes. And they, and like you said, they've been hot. They've been on a big streak, a big win streak, and they've all been playing incredible. You know, for the most part, I would say that they are whole and healthy right now, for the most part. And so it's just like having this team like that is so hot and having the Nuggets who, you know, are still kind of like dealing with lingering injuries and things like that with like Aaron
AG
Gordon still
not,
coming off the bench.
Yeah, he didn't close the half. He did come back in and talk to the media after. But yeah, he's clearly having some niggling. I love that word, niggling injuries.
I didn't know it was a word. Hopefully no one clips it. Oh my God. Did I tell you?
Niggling. That's a word, right? Causing slight but persistent before someone clips it and calls, like, and tries to get me canceled. Niggling. Causing?
Niggling.
Thank you. Causing slight but persistent annoyance, discomfort, or anxiety. You know what's funny is that before I said the word, I had realized I loved it because I'm always reading it. And I'm like, that's just a funny little word. But saying it, what you mean. So please don't cancel me, okay?
Well, that's a great word. Again, we're going to add... We're going to add that word next to closely in my vernacular, in my head. New words. Love this for me. But yeah, like I said, they've just like they've been amazing. They've been like coming back from a lot of games. Like they're able to close games so well lately. And so to have like the Nuggets be up so much and literally like the Nuggets went into the fourth quarter, I swear every single one of them was like, we were up almost 20, if not 20. Yeah.
I will say kudos to the Kings because they did not lie down and stop fighting. Nope. And I appreciate that because the Nuggets don't. Because the Nuggets, you know, when we started the season, we were not leading by 20 at the halves. We were losing by 20 at the halves. Uh-huh. And Nuggets would come back, okay? So I will always appreciate a team who doesn't hang their head even when there's a whole quarter to go, even if you're down 20.
I agree.
Because you can come back, not
crazier
against the Nuggets.
Crazier things have happened.
I guess, yes, against the Nuggets because I almost tweeted, but I was like, I didn't want to bring it up. So it felt too soon, even though this happened in May.
Yep.
I was like, it's not like the Nuggets have ever been up 20 and wasted away the game in the
blown the lead
like in a game 7 to go to the Western Conference Finals again. No, we never did that. So
never happened to me.
So it's funny because I almost did make a joke, especially because they came out in the third quarter looking a little flat in the first start of the third quarter. And then, of course, the fourth quarter they were getting, I said it last night, roasted and toasted on the defensive end.
They were.
And that's because they stopped trying. I mean, like no one was playing a shit ton of defense in this game. I will say Nikola Jokic is now third in steals after last night's game. He has now upped his thing and he is officially averaging a 30-point triple-double.
10.1 assists per game.
WTF.
30.2.
It's like 30.2, 13-something. He's third in rebounds.
Let me
read. Yeah, look out for me. Please do.
I got you, girl. All right, Nikola Jokic... is currently averaging 30.2 points per game, 13.4 rebounds per game, 10.1 assists per game, 1.9 steals per game, and 0.7 blocks per game at 36 minutes per game, shooting 56%.
And if you didn't know, this was the fifth straight game that Jokic has played in where he has gotten a triple-double in the third quarter. He almost had it at halftime last night.
He was two assists away.
He was seven. Oh, shoot. What was his first quarter? He was, 9.7 rebounds, 7 assists in the first quarter. Okay.
That was the first quarter? I didn't realize that.
He ended with, and in the previous four games that he played that he had that triple-double in the third, he did not play the fourth quarter, which has been amazing. But the Nuggets did start playing with their food, and he did come back last night, which allowed him to get 35, 22, 17, one steal, two blocks. Yes, Jokic is averaging almost two steals a game, or maybe it is two steals now that he is third in steals, and he is in the top three in deflections per game as well. So all of you assholes that are coming on here to say, Jokic is great, but he doesn't play defense, if you don't watch Nikola Jokic on a nightly basis, please do not type things that you don't know are real because you sound silly, okay? You sound very, that's what very I silly. Always,
okay, so that's what I always thought was so funny too, and maybe we'll get into it, but like when people, especially during Steph Curry's MVP seasons, they literally were saying, like, Steph doesn't play defense. And he literally, in his MVP seasons, was leading the league in steals and steals per game. Like, he literally was averaging over two steals per game.
But
I'm
they
like,
see you have a lot of points, and then they see, like, one, like, there was a video going around of them when they were up 30 the other game, and he missed a shot. And first of all, he was already in his spot. Like, Jokic wasn't going to deflect. The shot was already going in. Like, what do you want? What do you want him to do? And cherry picking like one play is weird, especially when you have someone leading the league in these numbers, because I bet if we went on anyone like Shays, like, well, I'm not gonna say Luka because he has a lot of them, but Giannis or Shays, I'm sure we could go and watch a game, and of course I'm sure there's one or two plays where you're like, what were you doing, like, on defense. So I'm like, to cherry pick that, to try and like run your Jokic like doesn't play defense agenda is weird. Jokic recorded, he is the second person to record a stat line like that, and not since Wilt is the joke, like, literally there's
it's
a DNVR shirt
60 years
that,
I think
that literally says not since Wilt, and it has like 15 in it.
Oh,
because Jokic just
that.
He literally just puts up, like, he is having a top peak season of all time. He is averaging a 30-point triple-double. He would have a 9-game streak of triple-doubles right now if it weren't for like two games. I think he had like 9 assists each. Like, I think
two games, he was one assist away, and one game he was one rebound away. And then he would literally be on like a 9, 10, 11, 12 game freaking
streak. You know
what's
crazy?
Insane.
Is he's always been so humble before. And I think this is the first year he said in the interview, and he said it again in the media room, that he's playing, like, he's like, I think I'm playing the best basketball of my life. And someone tweeted, they said, oh no, Skynet is aware. Everyone should be scared. Like, cause we've never heard him acknowledge it. And he's not saying like, I'm the best basketball player in the world. He said, I'm playing the best basketball of my life, which I love how he said it. It still shows that he's not like, not, you know, talking down or anyone or like being passive aggressive. Like, he's saying, I've never played like this. He's playing so dominantly. He's just, and like, I had some things we'll talk about. Like, we'll have a little mini MVP chat again after we talk about the game. So we'll go off of Jokic, but I just wanted to say, like, I can't believe I get to watch this player, you know, for 82 games a season in the regular season. And then in the postseason, I'm just so, so grateful to watch this guy play. And if you're new to our show and you're not a Nuggets fan and you really don't watch Nikola Jokic and you've seen him before and are like, well, he's slow. Like, I really, if you appreciate basketball and you appreciate IQ, like, I really, really beg of you to just sit down and like watch last night's game, for example. Like, watch last night's game. Watch any of the last 10 games that he's played in, because it's stuff you've never seen before.
And that's like, and that's actually why I can't take a lot of people seriously. Like, I legit will not take anyone seriously in the MVP conversation who talks down about Jokic, because like,
yeah,
I can fully admit that Shai is having an incredible season and he is an incredible basketball player.
And
he's a very impressive basketball player. Yes, Giannis, incredible basketball player. I mean, he's a literal monster. And like, so for people to like, all like all they can be like, is triple doubles aren't impressive. I'm like, if you genuinely enjoy basketball and you like watching basketball, watching Nikola Jokic play is beautiful. It is impressive. It is so cool. And it's like, you can still have your own MVP conversation and appreciate the fact that that's amazing.
Anyone
to
in
do.
The conversation
what is, he doing
is great.
Is amazing. Yes, exactly. And
they're all incredible. I literally tweeted today. I was like, I would hate to be Shai or Giannis in the era that Jokic lives, because they're having incredible
seasons.
Like best seasons ever for themselves. So it's like, I can't imagine doing that. And then you see Jokic come out and he hits a literal 70-yard half court shot and is averaging a 30-point triple double. Like
that's insane.
That's so unfair. But I just wanted to shout out the Nuggets and like a lot of our guys in the offseason. I talked about, you know, how we needed our young guys to like grow up, and they really are. Like Christian Brown has just become such a weapon for us. And he had, which Caitlin and I both said at the same time, a night play last night where he got a steal towards the end when they had cut it and we had it, I think, down to like 6 or 7. He got a steal and then did a dunk at the other end. And it reminded me of KCP the final game when KCP got that steal in the last like 2 minutes of the Heat game. And that was like the literal night like
it, that's
play.
What it is
that sealed the championship, and that's like he sealed it last night, and he's kind of taken over that AG role that now that AG's been coming off the bench for us just because he's dealing with those niggling injuries on his calf. That's the word of the day. That he's coming off the bench, you know, and helping out that bench unit, and he's being that vet for us on the bench. And then CB's kind of taken over that back cutting, like dunker roll spot. And he's had a lot of sneakily good games. I think he had it was one game that was 12 points, but the last few games, it's like 22, 20, 20, you know.
His offense has been really good. I'm so tired.
He did say night-night. Sorry.
I know, both of us at the same time, because if you don't know, Steph Curry has his whole little night-night celly, and we both literally were like, that was such a night-night moment, and like a good competitive game where the Kings were kind of crawling back. You know, he got the steal, he got the dunk on the other end, and we were both like, he said night-night.
Just to kind of go
off of what you were saying or whatever. So he's just in like the last 5 games, 21 points, 20 points, 20 points, 11 rebounds, 12 points, and then 22 points. And so those are his last 5 games. He's been great.
He's been great. You know, he is such a weapon in transition because he runs it and he finishes every time. You know, I think he's still like second behind Giannis in transition points or close to it. If, you know, someone else, like it's insane. He's making the Nuggets a fast break team, which I felt like we never were until now between him and Russell. And, you know, shout out to Russell Westbrook for doing all he does. He's been like such a weapon for our team because not only now do we have the Jokic and Murray two-man game, but we also have like the Jokic Russell two-man game. And we talked about it last time, but it's like Russell's feeding Joker and Joker's feeding everyone else. And it's so, I think it's lightening the load a little bit off of Jokic. And even when he does have those 3 turnovers a game, you know, 4 turnovers, he goes back and he gets it almost every time. He literally is like, again, I will be taking that right back from you. So we, you know,
and
Russell's still been amazing.
We're 18-5 with Russell Westbrook as a starter. So that's all I'm going to say for all the people that said, have fun with Russell Westbrook, because we're having a great time. We're having a wonderful time.
I'm having so much fun. And then another person like Michael Porter Jr. in the past has, if he struggled from 3, then he's gone. You will not see him in the game. He will not get any points. So I was really impressed with him this season, just because especially in the past 2 games, he's been playing cleanup crew, and he did it again to last night where he's just going in and following everyone's shot, making sure it goes in, putting it back if it's not, you know, he was like 2 for 8. from the 3-point line?
Oh, from three. Yeah. 2 for 8.
Yeah. So he didn't have his best 3-point shooting night, obviously, but he was hitting some mid-rangers, doing the putbacks, and I think he ended up with 18 points. So he's not just like sulking and like hanging his head and, you know, being a non-factor, you know,
or just going 2 for 15 from three.
Yeah. Everyone's playing like team ball, and it's so nice to see. You know, Julian Strother is starting to get his offense back, you know, like he was struggling for the past few weeks. And then Peyton Watson is becoming literally like another, he kind of looks like a third
defensive
Thompson brother
monster. Yeah.
Like the way they're built, they're all like really lanky wings that are like super defensive focused. You know, and he had like 4, I want to say loud blocks last night, just because when he goes up, like I think people underestimate him because again, he is only he's 6'7", but his wingspan is that of someone that is 6'11".
7 foot, right? Isn't it
like 7'1", maybe? Yeah, his wingspan's insane. So I'm like, he gets up there,
big boy.
And I'm excited for him because I think he is going to be so important for us in the playoffs once he, you know, fine tunes his game a little bit. And you know, he hasn't been as great offensively all the time, just because we talked about this last night. I don't think he's ever made a transition dunk or a layup. He like always, he usually gets fouled though, like to be fair, but he's like always on the ground. Like I'm like every like fast break with Peyton Watson, he ends up on the ground.
He is always on the ground.
Do you ever notice that? It's like he like goes up and someone like, and again, to be fair, like he's getting fouled a lot, but it is funny. It's like people are running with him. Christian is like gone. Like honestly, no one's ever contesting Christian really when he's out in the transition, but it's just been so great. Cause again, like I said, the Nuggets are first in assists. So it's been great to watch this. That's my favorite. My favorite is team basketball. My favorite is when the ball is popping and reaches everyone. And everyone, again, is eating. Everyone has gone to the buffet. Everyone is snacking, munching. You know, it's
everyone's
great.
Gone through, going around again one more time.
Everyone's going for their third plate. Okay. So I love. And that's what Jokic loves. That's Jokic ball. Like, so it was really good to see them last night. You know, it's always interesting when Sabonis and Jokic play together. And again, I think the Kings will be fine. They were on tired legs. And listen, the Nuggets offense has looked like Goliath right now. Like, if you watch the first half of that game, you would say no one is beating these people in a seven game series. And I fully believe that.
I do too, especially when Jamal is Jamal. And last night, Jamal was Jamal.
But I wanted, because we've had a lot of MVP chat, and I just wanted to kind of have a little rebuttal for all of you for next time. If you want to show your friends, you can clip this and send it to them for all of the basic, like I'm literally going to go over all of the average things y'all say when you think Shea is, first of all, a lot of y'all are saying Shea's not better than Jokic, but he deserves the MVP, which also doesn't make sense. Anyway. Okay. My first one, take one. Shea scores more. Okay, Shea scores more only by a point and leads the league in free throw attempts, which go to your point totals. So that's a null. That's a nix, you know, like that
and
is a wash.
It's not like, yeah, I was going to say it's not a big like point discrepancy.
And then, you know, you can say Jokic's teammates score more than Shea's. Yes, because Jokic passes them the ball. Hence the assist
17
numbers.
Assists.
Hence the assists. Okay. If you didn't know, those 17 assists all led to a version of a 2 or a 3. Okay. So that is why they score more. If you, again, watch a game, literally Jokic creates the offense for them. Like, and that's why you see people leave, AKA KCP, and they go to a different team and their offense isn't as amazing as it was when they were with Jokic, because Jokic is not throwing them dimes every 5 seconds. Okay, moving on. Shea plays defense, Jokic doesn't. Okay, again, as I said, Jokic is now third in steals and third in pass deflections. Okay, so if you're saying he doesn't play defense, you must be watching the wrong season of the Denver Nuggets. Jokic's stat padding. That's my new personal favorite. Jokic has gotten a triple-double in three quarters in the past five games. Four of those, he did not play the fourth. Okay? Four of those, yeah, like, he did not play the fourth. It's not like they're up 20 and he went in the fourth to go get 17 assists. Okay?
And, like, I just, like, that's, like, I don't know. Maybe that's the stuff that, like, drives me crazy is, like, for a lot of his, like, assists, too, like, he, it's not like he passes them the ball and is, and then is like, shoot it. Give me the assist. Shoot it. Like,
shoot it.
He sets guys up well and makes a good pass, and these guys happen to be open, and it just, it happens.
And even, like, the little things, he's great at it. He did a one-armed, you know, full court heave yesterday because he doesn't care, again, about his field goal percentage. And they asked him, they said a lot of guys care about their three-point percentage and they'll wait till after the buzzer to do that heave. And he said, I think those 3 points could help us, so why would I not try every time? And yeah, we made it last night. And when there was a time where they cut it to four, we sure were glad that we had those 3 points. Okay, yeah. Moving on. Shea's team is winning by more than eight games in the standings. Okay, Jokic missed six games this year. And some of those games we lost, he was the only one to score. Also, this is a solo award. This is not a team award. Okay, so yes, getting your team to wins does have effect of it. But if you like factor that in, that Shea has like missed like what, one game, maybe two?
One game,
like,
yeah.
He's missed one game and Jokic, like you can't really say like when the Nuggets are now, like we're not the eighth seed. Nuggets are now one win away from the two seed. So
yep.
I would have understood that a little bit more. I would have given you a little bit more leeway if they were further, you know, down.
Yep.
And then, you know, last I just have to say, Jokic is scoring on better efficiency from the field and almost double his efficiency. I think it is double Shea's efficiency from the 3-point line and less free throw attempts. So not only is he doing all, and I think what he's like double the rebounds, like he's improving and better than Shea in every single aspect of the game. And I just wanted to say that Caitlin and I talked about this last night. We would really love if they added an offensive. Well, someone I think told us this on Twitter, and we agreed that it would be really cool if they added an offensive player. And even,
I think someone
player
commented it on here, on YouTube.
Oh, maybe it was on here. Oh, whoever commented on it, thank you. They thought it would be a good idea for the NBA to bring offensive player of the year, which I'm honestly shocked that they don't have, because we have a deep boy and we have an MVP. But again, an offensive player, like scoring is an incredible feat. And, you know, Shea is scoring an insane amount. Giannis is scoring an insane amount. So I think that's one award that I really would love for them to add. Like, I think it's fair, like, for them, because again, like, MVP I think is in a different tier. And I think it'd be really nice for them to have a defensive player of the year award and then an offensive player. Well, they do have the DPOY, but an OPOY to go along with it.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And I think that, like, my one, like, random addition to your, you know, talk about like Shea versus Jokic is that, like, people seem to forget, because, like, I totally get it. Jokic is the best player in the world. He could be the best player in the world playing on the worst team, and I can understand where that wouldn't, like, where you wouldn't get an MVP, right? Like, that wouldn't make any sense. You know, someone made an argument earlier that Shea is the best player on the best team, and we all know that I hate that argument. But MVP is most valuable player. It is the person who is the most valuable to their team. And I think that, like, something that no one's really talked about is, like, and I don't want to say that, like, it's all Jokic, because Russell Westbrook has obviously put in the work and he's done that. Yeah. He's done it all himself. But I really think that Jokic playing with Russell Westbrook has kind of brought him back from the dead. It's brought him back from what was, like, a slowly dying career because of the last teams that he was on. And he now has someone that elevates him. And I just, like, I feel like with the way that Jokic elevates every player that he plays with, and this is the same way that I feel about Steph Curry too. And this is not to say that Shea doesn't elevate players, but I think that Jokic truly has a, like, huge impact on the way that people play. And the way that you play this team game, you know, Jokic talks about it all the time. Like, his whole goal is to just play the game the right way. And it is a team game. It is not, you know, it's not a game where he's just sitting there.
He wants to see his teammates win. He doesn't just want to score.
Exactly.
Like he loves assists. He talks about it all the time. Like assists makes two people happy. Like those 17 assists, he set up his teammates. You know, he could have taken the shot
17
himself.
17 separate times.
And he decided to be selfless and pass it. Okay. And that's why, no offense, like I get, I'm like, Shea is a little selfish sometimes. Okay. Like as
but
a point
guard.
But
he's an amazing scorer. Hence Opoy.
But he's an amazing. Yeah. Hence our Opoy decision.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, so like I said, like for me, like just even thinking about Russell Westbrook and thinking about the way that he has like been as a teammate and a leader, like he really, he is so valuable to that team on so many levels. And I think that that's like another kind of conversation that people kind of have to look at is that like, it is the most valuable player, not the best player on the best team and things like that. And if you're okay with it, I can just like read off my super quick little stats. I did research of the last 10 years of MVPs because I was just like, you know, like how is this MVP being calculated? You know, what are people looking at? Because I think that that's the important thing that we all have to think about is that MVPs are voted on not by the people. They're voted on by a random group of like, you know, writers and media people and coaches and, you know, whatever. They're voted on by a group of people. And when they're voted on, you have all these people that are putting in their votes, and these people all have different perceptions of what is valuable to them. For some people, like Shea scoring a ton, that's valuable. Shea scoring a ton and being the leading scorer in almost every single game for OKC, who is the best team in the West right now, and almost the best team in the league. The Cavs have lost a few games. Literally, OKC is only one loss behind the Cavs now. And so I get that. That's going to be the most valuable to a lot of people. And so it's really about how people see value. And so I wanted to see kind of what that looked like over the last 10 years, who these MVPs were and what their team looked like too. And so I'm literally, it's just going to be kind of like reading stats and just kind of like seeing what that looks like and comparing it to Jokic and I guess Shea this season. But so in 2014, we had Kevin Durant. He was shooting 50%. His stats, 32 points per game, 7.7 rebounds per game, 5.5 assists per game, 0.7 blocks per game, 1.3 steals per game. He was playing for OKC at the time. OKC ended the regular season, the second seed, with 59 wins. They lost in the Western Conference Finals. The only thing KD led the league in is points, which I think is where Shea is sitting right now. 2015, Steph Curry, he was shooting 48.7%. He had 23.8 points per game, 4.3 rebounds per game, 7.7 assists per game, 0.2 blocks per game, 2 steals per game. He was obviously on the Warriors, still is. The Warriors ended in the first seed. They had 67 wins. They won the chip that year. Russell Westbrook led in points per game. Chris Paul led in assists per game that season. DJ, DeAndre Jordan, led in rebounds per game that season. The only thing that Steph led in was steals, free throw percentage, and threes, obviously. And that's kind of the thing is that in the Steph Curry era, that was what was so valuable is that these threes were winning him games and won them the chip. And he was doing it at an insane pace.
And he was doing it like in clutch time.
Exactly. He was winning these games with those threes and with his shooting. And that was what did it for him. 2016, Steph Curry as well. 50.4% shooting, 30.1 points per game, 5.4 rebounds per game, 6.7 assists per game, 2.1 steals per game, 0.2 blocks per game. He played for the Warriors, obviously. Warriors ended first. This was their 73-win season. Warriors lost
the finals
that year. You
gotta give it to them, though, for the
73 wins.
Never going to happen again. I don't think.
Yes, obviously, you know, he still had Clay and Draymond and he had a great team like by him. Yeah. But when you're leading, I mean, 30.1 points per game is what Jokic is sitting at right now, you know, or just about what Jokic is sitting at right now. It's still an incredible number. And for him to be doing that and to, again, shoot the threes the way that he did, it's insane. So that year, he led in points per game, steals per game, and threes. In 2017, and this is the important one, in 2017, Russell Westbrook won the MVP. He was shooting 42% and he had 31.6 points per game, 10.7 rebounds per game, 10.4 assists per game, 0.4 blocks per game, 1.6 steals per game. He played for OKC and they were the sixth seed that year. Sixth seed, okay? So seeding did not matter that year. because averaging a triple double is insane. You might
averaging a 30-point triple double is literally
it's insane. It's
absurd.
It's insane. And we also have to put into perspective that Jokic is doing that, shooting
efficiently
14% better. 14% better field goal percentage.
14% better. It's insane. Like, yep. It's doing it and doing it efficiently. That's what gets me, that where I'm like, yeah, he's scoring more than Jokic by 1 point, but Jokic is doing it at a far, far better level. It's just insane. So yeah. I'm interested to hear, you know, some more thoughts, you know, about it. Like, I really encourage you to actually watch,
totally.
You know, both these people. If you want to have an opinion on two people, like, I think it's only fair to say that you watch them both. And if you don't watch them both, then you shouldn't have an opinion. Like, it's something, you know, girls are like, men shouldn't have opinion on like reproductive stuff because they don't go through it. Like, it's little things like that where it's like something like you need to wash it with your own eyes first before you come out with it. This ended up being a little bit of a longer episode. We didn't get to talk about Giannis, so hopefully we'll touch on him and the Bucks a little more next episode. Yeah. But just know, Giannis fans, that we understand that he is also having a monster season and he is not getting enough credit for being
in
the race.
We see you. We hear you. Just for the Bucks fans. The Bucks. The Bucks are now fourth in the Eastern Conference. They have won 8 of their last 9. And I said, Giannis still exists. That's just an added point to the MVP conversation. Bucks fans, we see you. We hear you. We will talk about them a lot more next week. And hopefully maybe we'll see a Jimmy Butler trade or something like that over the weekend. Crazy.
Who knows what's going to happen? Please like, comment, and subscribe if you haven't done that yet. Check our description below for all of our socials so we can chat with you when you're not on here. And we love you guys. Thank you so much for watching and supporting. And please share with your friends, family, and everyone else that you think might love us. So we will talk to
you guys next week.
Probably Monday.
Bye, friends. Thanks for being here.
Bye. We love you. See you later.